Yes, Lord, we love you. Amen. Oh, we give you this meeting tonight. Amen. We want to see something from you. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start introducing myself. This is not my first time in Poland, but it's my first time joining this conference. So my name is Rodrigo Montero. I'm originally from Mexico, but in the last 13 years, I've been in Anaheim. So I come from Anaheim, and I'm very happy to be here with you today. And I'm very happy that we are starting, the brother said that in the evening line, we are starting a journey. And this journey, it's a journey of 4 years. So I want to start encouraging you all. This is just the first station. This journey has 4 stations. The blood, the word, the spirit, and the church. What about we all repeat that? The blood, the word, the spirit, and the church. So I already in this ride, so I hope that I will continue coming and be with you, with all the brothers in this journey. You know, young people, the Christian life is a journey. And for example, many of us, we came to this conference. And to get here, you need some basic things, right? First of all, you need a passport if you're coming from another country, right? You need a ticket for the flight, the train. You need a bag. You need clothes. So you need some basic things. So in the same way, in the Christian life, there's some basic things that all believers should have. I'm not a church kid. I came to the Lord when I was 20. And then when I received the Lord, for my first 2 years, no one told me about the blood of the Lord. And I can tell you, it's very hard to live the Christian life without knowing about the blood of Christ. So that's what the first station, it has to be the blood. But I will say, when we were considering, how do we title this, right? The first station. We have to come to this verse. It's not only the blood of Christ, right? It's the precious blood of Christ. Let's say all that together. The precious blood of Christ. You know, only something can become precious if you experience it. Actually, this mention of the blood as the precious blood of Christ is mentioned only one time in the whole New Testament. And actually, the one who mentioned is very interesting. It was Peter, one of the disciples. And if you have the chance to read the Gospels, almost every single time that Peter appears, he either say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. Even when the Lord resurrected, he was so disappointed that he left. Kind of he left the church life. But not only that, everybody followed him. So he was taking everybody with him. You know, sometimes in the church life, we may feel like this. Oh, I may be not the best. I'm the last one. So maybe you feel like Peter. Well, we have good news. He was the one who said, this blood is precious. Because he applied this blood again and again. I will say, brothers and sisters, the Christian life is not a sinless life. It's not a life that you try to be sinless. The overcomers don't overcome because they are sinless. They overcome because they have the blood. We're going to have a message on overcoming, but I just want to mention this because my first 2 years as a believer, I was so frustrated. I get to the point that I don't want to live the Christian life because I try it, I fail. I try it, I fail. I try it, I fail. But praise the Lord for the blood of Christ. Amen. One time someone told me about the blood of Christ. I start applying it and become so precious to me. And we hope that during this conference and after this conference, the blood of Christ become precious to you. So let me share a verse when I was considering this word. This is in the first book. You know the Bible? It has certain order according to Revelation. But according to time, the first book written was the book of Job. And I was reading Job chapter 22, 25. And this is what it says. It says, then the Almighty will be your gold nuggets. Then the Almighty will be your gold nuggets. So the Almighty and everything related to Him is precious. So one of these gold nuggets is His precious blood. If you learn what is the blood, if you apply it, the Almighty will become your gold nuggets. You want to be rich? You want to be precious? You have to apply the blood. Okay. You have to apply the blood. And let me kind of go back a little bit of message one. You know, we have at least three problems. I'm going to cover the second one. And when I mention which problem is this, it doesn't sound good, but it's going to be good. Okay. But actually, our first problem is not the second problem that I want to talk about. But I want to infuse you with this. Our first problem is not God, but it's a problem toward Him. He doesn't have to have problems with us. If you ask God, if He wants to have problems with us, He will say, no, I love you. I love man. Even when man failed, I love him so much that I became one of you. If you ask God, do you love man? He will say, yes, I became one of you one day because I love you. I became a man. And I die for you. That's the extent of the love that He has for us. But we have a problem. And let me take some brothers. Okay, you know, yesterday Brother Tim said that the Lord, he didn't come as a king, right? No. I don't know, when I see this brother and he was talking about the lamb, I don't know, I feel he looked like the lamb, right? like approachable. Okay, you can hug me. The Lord is approachable, right? You know, come. Okay. The Lord is approachable. When you read the book of Genesis, you will see that the Lord, God, as God, He came every morning to visit man. So every morning, very early in the morning, that's why we have morning revival, because he likes to come in the morning. So He comes in the morning, and He spent, man and God, they were not one as we are one today, but they have some relationship. God and man have a relationship. But then, sorry, someone has to be the bad guy. Okay, Eliezer, I know that you will be fine. Okay. But then, you know, in some point, the enemy, Satan, came in a very crafty way. And then now we have sin. You know, sin came in between God. You know, God loves men. And men appreciate God, but now there's no way. There's separation, right? You know, sin. And you know, last night, Brother Tim, one of the points says, you can pray. Oh, I want to be one with you, God. But we have this problem. You can wept. You know, when those 2 years, I don't know how many times I was in tears, feeling, I want to be a believer. I want to love God, but I'm a failure. Mm-hmm. But you know, you can keep crying, and the problem is still there. Right? The problem is still there. You know, sin? Sin is like that kind of, I don't know if you ever have a classmate that no one's invited them, but he's always there, right? or that relative that no one's like that well, that much, but he's always there. So every time that we want to come to God, this uninvited friend is there, sin. So it's a big deal to realize. I appreciate the young sister said, we are sinners. We need to realize this uninvited friend is still in us. This uninvited friend wants to separate us from God. And thank you. But I like this point in message one. He says, but praise the Lord, the blood of Christ. Amen. So it was not a small thing when John the Baptist, he saw Jesus. Okay, I need the lamb again. Okay. So it wasn't a small thing when he saw Jesus, and what he said is very meaningful. He didn't say, he's the Savior, he's the King. Everybody was waiting for a king, right? For a Moses, but it was very interesting. He said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him. He's the Lamb. But let me point out something. Before he said that, the only lambs that were offered were the lambs of men. The only ones who were offering lambs were men. But he didn't say, this is another lamb of men. No, he said, this is the lamb that God is offering. And he's not just offering this one more lamb. Thank you. One more lamb. Just, you know, in the Old Testament, when they offer the lamb only covers sin. You know, I have children. I have three. Actually, two are young people. I have a son. 14, he was here last year. And a daughter who is going to turn 12 tomorrow. So I'm saying this because I need to call her tomorrow. And then I have a 9-year-old. Okay. You know, sometimes when I ask them, oh, go and clean your room. Because maybe they want to play something or go out. And they say, yes, daddy. Because they are excited. They go. And you know what they do? Most of the time, especially my daughters, I don't know, there's something about girls. They put a lot of clothes under the bed. They push everything. And when I get into the room, seemingly it's clean, right? You know, in the Old Testament, those lambs that were offered by men, that was the only thing that they can do. Just put sin under the bed, cover them. It looks that nothing is going on. Well, guess what? If you check under, sin. Well, now, okay, I need the lamb again. Okay. So, but when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus walking that day, he said, that he was walking, he said, behold, I hope that we all, behold, we're beholding, behold, that man is the Lamb of God. And then he continued, and he said, who take away the sin of the world. Okay, thank you. I guarantee you that if I tell my daughters that this is not possible, right? That there will be a way to say, that they can say to their clothes under the bed, go away forever. They will be happy, right? Every time. That's not going to happen. But with sin, if we apply the blood, he's able to take away the sin of the world. Not only of you, not only of me, not only of all of us here and in the other tent, but he is able to take away the sin of the whole world. Here in this verse, the word world means humanity. So it's the whole human beings. So what does that mean? Is that it doesn't matter if the sin is small, if the sin is big, if the sin is not too bad, or it is very bad, the Lamb of God is able to take away the sin of the world. Okay? He's able. And the good news last night was that when we apply the blood, okay, I need you again, okay. And I need sin. Okay, so I need sin. Yeah, I need sin. And I need you, okay. This is you. He's representing all of us. Come. And I want to make this point very clear. Because my daughters, coming back to the example of my daughters, suppose that they put all the things under the bed and sometimes my youngest, there's something about the naughty ones. I mean, she's the from the three. Don't tell her. She's the most naughty. Sometimes she cries. I said, you need to really take all those things out of the bed and put them where they should go. And she starts crying, and she thinks that that's enough. So sometimes when sin is there, when the clothes are under the bed, it's not enough if you cry. Okay, cry, try to. Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's not enough. Sometimes we think, the more I cry, the more it's like if God will change his, okay, now you don't need the blood. Do you think he's going to say that? No. So you can keep crying, but nothing is going to happen. So we hope that in this conference you don't only learn about the blood, but you apply it. So, and it's very easy, you, because he already shed this blood, you only have to behold him, believe in him, because the blood, you know, let me make one more point. Because one time a young person, we have this conference, and a young person said, but where is the blood? And then all the brothers, we were, oh, where is the blood? Okay. And then a brother responded like this, and it was very helpful. He said, you know, the blood is not something that you go to a store and say, okay, give me a little bit of blood of Christ. Okay, let me get it. If you read the Gospels, the blood flow from the person. So if you want, and it's eternally flowing. So if you want the blood, you need to come to the person. The blood is not something there flowing by itself. The blood is in the person. Not this person. Sorry. This person. Okay. Yeah, it's not in this one. Okay. It's in this person, in the Lamb. Okay. So, no crying. Okay. That's why I say to my daughters, don't cry. I don't believe on your tears right now. You need to say, dear Lamb of God. You can say it. Dear Lamb of God. Apply your blood to me.
Apply your blood to me.
And you know what happened? You know, he take away the sin of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. The Christian life, that's what we, I don't know if you notice that in the church life, we mention enjoyment again and again. Why? Because if there's no sin, there's enjoyment. If there's no sin, there's peace. And with this first message, if there's no sin, there's oneness. What is the opposite of separation? Is that you become one with the Lord. And I will say, you know, what makes believers different from everybody else is that we have God. We have His presence. And actually, one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, but he who joins to the Lord is one spirit. Let's say it again. But he who joins to the Lord is one spirit. Well, you know, this year I was praying reading that verse. Even when I know it, it's my favorite. I was praying reading again. And as I was praying reading, the Lord put this feeling in me with this word, but he who is joined. It's like he's saying, all the believers should be one with me. We should be one, but he still have to call us. But who wants to be one with me? And then let me apply it like this. You know, sometimes we commit a sin and we are not willing to confess. And maybe we didn't know that we need to apply the blood. But now that you know, even if you know, sometimes you will find out yourself like, I don't know. For example, maybe this has started happening more with my oldest daughter and my wife. A little arguments here and there. You know, when you become a young person, you start arguing a little bit more. And I remember one time, they have the argument. And usually she says sorry right away. But you know how long it took her to say sorry to her mom? I mean, sisters, maybe you can guess. How much time do you think? Any guesses? 3 days? Oh, wow. Yeah, some are harder. No, actually, I mean, she was 11, so I think she can get to 3 days. Now she can. No, but she, before it was a couple hours, maybe. That, it was at least like 8 hours. And she's like, no. And tears and, you know. And then when I was praying reading this verse, this come to me. But he who is joined, kind of, who is willing? Who is willing to apply the blood? Who treasures, and this is what my point, who treasures me to be one with me? Who really deny themselves, accept the mistake, confess, and still be one with me? That's what I said. The first problem is separation. But only someone who wants to be one with the Lord will use the blood. Only someone who said, I'm aware that I'm separated, and I need to go back, I need the blood. You know, that night, after the 8 hours, my wife tried, and then, if you're a husband here, you know, when it gets harder, your wife said, it's your turn. And I was, oh, see, if she can't do it, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in trouble. But you know, that was the first time that I talked to her about confession. And so I said to her, and I talked to her about the blood. And as Brother Tim mentioned about feelings, you know, sometimes we're so full of feelings. Well, those feelings doesn't help because don't allow you to apply the blood. So after he put the feelings away, it was very easy. She realized, yeah, actually I'm wrong. And she right away went with tears. Those tears are okay. With tears and say sorry. But I hope that all of us, even when this is not my message, but I really want to impress you. Believers, we should treasure to be one with the Lord. More than anything, His presence should become everything to us. So that's our first problem, okay? So now, if we can all come to message number 2, this page 31, we can read the title together. This is our second problem. Okay. Solving man's problem within himself. You know, every time that this uninvited friend comes, he caused that problem toward God, right? Now we have a problem. But not only that, within us we have another problem. And this problem is called guilt. You know, guilt is the feeling that we have of a shame, the feeling that we did something against a law, certain law, or morals. Even when we do something wrong, you know, not all the sins need to be very bad. For example, with my daughter, she just says something in a different tone, right? So really it's not too bad, but it still is a sin, right? If you don't honor your parents, God said we should honor them, right? So my point here is that since the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve partook of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, the first feeling they have was guilt. They never had that feeling. And you know, I'm going to kind of try to clarify something here. We say that we should not pay attention to our feelings, right? But guilt, it doesn't come from the same source of our emotions. Guilt is something that comes from our conscience. And let me try to make something. I think we most of us know this diagram, right? The diagram. So this is you, right? This is man. So what is our part? Yeah, you can say it louder. Your body, right? The body. And then inside of our body we have what? Our soul, right? So, in our soul, part of our soul is our emotions. You know, there are some days that nights, after work or something, sometimes I feel, I don't know, sad or tired. And that is happening here. Nothing happened, but you know, I can go to the kitchen, scoop of ice cream, chocolate ice cream, and I'm okay. You know, I don't feel guilty. I'm just... It's a feeling, and you have a lot of feelings, right? And when we do things, we have a lot of feelings. But guilty or ashamed or feel guilty is not here. Because you can eat the scoop of the ice cream, that I try it, and when it's something that offends God and offends others, something in us that God desire God put in us is activated, and it's not in our soul, but it's in our spirit. This is our spirit, you know, and the spirit has three functions, and I'm just gonna talk about the conscience. You know, guilty, feel guilty, ashamed is a very positive thing. You know, just think about it. When Adam and Eve, they ate of that tree, right away they feel guilty. And what they did? They covered themselves, right? They kind of tried to put things under the bed, right? But because of that, God had have a way to come with his salvation. If they didn't feel anything, probably God never came. But you know, it was that feeling, that registration within. You know, the conscience have a function that is to tell you that if something is right or wrong, if something is good or bad, but the conscience cannot save you. The conscience can only tell you that is not right, right? And that is a very good thing. You know, we live in this in an age, young brothers and sisters, in which some young people say, "Don't judge me." Right? One brother said that, right? But it's true. Don't judge me. But many times they say that because they did something, they want to do something that their conscience is telling them no. And the easiest way to say is, "Don't judge me," because that actually it works, because a lot of them say that. But you know, that is if Adam and Eve said to God, after they did what they did, "Don't judge me," what's God gonna do? He doesn't have a way to save them. So I hope that when you have this feeling, and there's many examples that I can give you. I mean, I gave you just one with my daughter. Actually, 2 weeks ago, we have our Summer School of Truth in Anaheim. And then there were some, I don't know why all the examples are sisters this year. Okay. But there were 5 sisters who did something in the Summer School of Truth. We usually expect brothers. So this was like a unexpected situation. And another brother and I, we had to meet with them. And we have to tell them, you know, what you did is wrong. It was wrong. You are affecting others. But it was very interesting. We were talking to them, and one of them started laughing in front of us. Just like, kind of, "I don't care. Don't judge me." And we just keep talking to them. We love them. Our words were of love. We were not mad with them. We told them, "We are not mad, but we need to tell you that what you are doing is not okay." So she started laughing, and then the others get nervous and start laughing. At some point, all of them were laughing, and we were just talking to them. And we were like, "Oh, Lord, what do we do?" So we finished the time, and we send them to the meeting. But very interesting, two of them came after the meeting, in tears, saying, "Brothers, we know that you love us and you care for us, and we just came to apologize." I was almost in tears. They were in tears. Because you know what happened? They pay attention to this feeling. You know, these days young people don't do it. But I hope that you will be this kind of young people. You have a conscience for a reason. You know, the conscience, as I said, the conscience cannot save us. But the conscience, if we pay attention, will lead you to the Lord. And then the Lord can save you. Amen. The Lord and his blood can save you. So that's what I said, that feel guilty is not at the beginning is not a good feeling, right? No one wants to feel guilty, right? But if you can see this, you will know that's God speaking to you. It's kind of his last chance. Are you coming back? Don't forget, if you don't pay attention, we're going to be separated. So guilty is a good feeling. So let's read Roman number 1. Okay, all together? Ready? Okay, ready? Go. Maybe if you can underline or circle the word heavy. You know, in our Christian life, if we are not careful, if we ignore this feeling, what happens is you start accumulating a lot of weight to the point that sometimes you feel, and what starts happening is you start accumulating weight, and it's like, I cannot pray. And you keep accumulating weight. Oh, I cannot read the Bible. And then you start feeling ashamed, and you start feeling, oh, I don't want to go to the meeting. But it's not the meeting, right? You feel, if I go, everybody's going to look at me and what they're going to think, right? So really, it's a big deal to know that we need to confess. Because we accumulate. It's very easy to accumulate. All of us, we're sinners. It's very easy to accumulate. And here, not only that, this guilt become a stain. Become something that stays with you. You know, I brought something here. You know, one verse in the Bible said that God is light. Praise the Lord, God is light. And in Him there's no darkness at all. Right? There's no darkness. But in us, you know, when we don't pay attention, we are all like this. You know, the day that you receive the Lord, I received the Lord, and one day I was driving. I got saved when I was 20, so I was driving. And I'm sorry. I remember that day I was driving, and suddenly it hit me. I have God in me. He died for me. And I started crying. I had to park the car. But I remember that when I was in tears, and then when I looked at the sky, the grass, everything was so bright. It's like if I'm from Mexico City and there's parts that are not that nice, but that day everything looks nicer. Like, so bright. And I remember that even I said, I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I said, if you want to take me, I'm ready. I'm ready to be raptured. No, but it was too quick, right? The Lord still have a lot of work to do. But you know, when we receive the Lord, we are like this. We're so bright that God can really see through us, and there's nothing between. He took away the sin of everything that you did until that point, right? But the Christian life is not one day. That was a big learning for me. I was ready to be raptured, but then I had to learn the Christian life is not one day. And then I start having problems because no one told me. For 2 years, you know what happened? I have a heavy load. Okay, I'm gonna expose myself a little bit, but in those 2 years, one time I was on a test, it was math. And I knew everything on my test except one thing. And I had to kind of look a little over the person next to me. I get the point. I get I don't know how it's in Europe. In Mexico was like hundreds, 10 to 10 in tens. And then you get 100. So I got 100, but the teacher saw me doing it. So I got a 0. And the next, you know what happened next test? She moved me from my seat, and she put me on her seat, and she was standing behind me. But you know, I got 100. I really studied. But you know what? Even when I got 100, no one told me about the blood. So I got 100, but I still have a stain. And that was only one thing. I don't remember all the things that I did those 2 years, but I remember... But for sure, I don't remember, but for sure, I know there were a lot of things. To the point, as I mentioned before, I was ready to quit the Christian life. I was ready to go. I remember I said, God, I said this to God. God, I still kind of love you. I don't have a problem with you. For sure, I have a problem with him, but I thought, I don't have a problem with you, but I can't live this way. Well, praise the Lord, my family came to the church life. I'm still here. And one of the main reasons I will say that I'm still here is the blood of Christ. I start to learn. You know, when you are saved, you have to only say, Lord, I give you all my sins. And He takes the whole back, right? But you know, after that, it's not the same. He becomes a little more specific. He will not say, I cannot say now, I'll just take everything. Now, he's not like that. As we go on in the Lord, because this happened, one day he said, do you remember what you did in that test? I remember I was just reading the Bible. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just reading, and then, do you remember what you did in that test? And I was like, yeah, I remember, but praise the Lord for the Bible. Yeah. You know, sometimes we're like, praise the Lord. But the Lord, yeah, praise. I appreciate your praises, but what are you going to do with that? You know, the word confess means to speak the same. So he's not asking us to promise him. He was not asking me, now promise me that you will never cheat again on a test. What he was saying is, you just have to say that you did it and apply the blood, that's it. So because at that point I already knew about the blood, I just said, Lord, I agree with you. I don't supposed to be cheating. And I remember I said, I don't know if I want to see that teacher again, but forgive me because she saw me doing that. I become a bad testimony for her. But praise the Lord, after I did that, I don't know, I feel like the flow of life. I feel that I was floating. Praise the Lord. And you know what happened? Okay, yeah, good. It's working. Okay. You know, every time that we do this, we become, again, transparent. You know, in the Bible, in the last book of the Bible, it says that there's a river flowing from the throne, and it's transparent. So our relationship with the Lord that is in the throne should be like this, transparent. And the only way to become transparent is by confessing and applying the blood of Christ. So may the Lord make us our heavy load easy. We hope that even at the end of this message you spend some time. Maybe in your cabin times, just individually, just spend some time. When we do something, when we have this feeling, it's not that you have to spend hours thinking, okay, what did I do today? You know, when you do some things, when you see some things, when you say some things, you know it. You can eat the ice cream, but the ice cream doesn't work. Right? So if you eat the ice cream and it doesn't work, that means it's not your feelings, it's your conscience. So then whatever is that, confess that. Just confess that. Okay. Okay. Let's read A and B.
Like a window which is never washed, the conscience grows darker and darker until eventually the little light can enter. The blood of Christ is powerful enough to purge or cleanse your conscience from every guilty stain.
Praise the Lord! The blood of Christ is powerful enough. And so remember, no tears, not a mouth prayer. You need the blood. Praise the Lord for the blood. Okay. let's move on to Roman number 2. Okay, ready? Let's read it together. You know, this is just a little illustration of what I already said, but I feel to still do it. Just because maybe you hear this word and next week something happened and you forget everything. So I hope that you don't forget what I'm going to do. Okay. So this is like an example. How many of you, maybe the example is not the best. How many of you like to read books? Okay, good. Okay, that's good. How many of you go to the library to get those books? Yeah, I kind of get, you know, we don't go to the library that much these days, right? Everything is on the phone or tablet, but anyways, I'm still going to use the example. You know, in the old days, when you wanted a book, you needed to go to a library, right? And I still do with my children. And you know, you get the book, and usually they give you a receipt, right? And in the receipt it says, you should return it. Because at least where I am in the U.S., the libraries, all the books belong to the that city, to the public. It's a public library to the. And when you don't return the book, you actually are going against the law in the United States. So you cannot just keep it and say, "Oh, I forgot." Because actually, if you do it, they will start charging you some money, right, to your card. Okay. So when we sin, when we go against the Lord, a couple things happen. It says here in B. It says, first, if I don't return the book, the first thing that happened is you broke a law. In this case, when we sin, when this uninvited friend comes, we break God's law. That is, you have done something that offends God. You know sin? God hates sin. Sin offends God directly. But God loves men. So he has a problem. No, he has a problem. So the first thing is that you break the law. Second, now you owe something to the law that is impossible for you to pay. You know, my children like to get books, but they cannot pay. The week before coming, we get this letter from the library that you still have this book. And then guess where the book was? Under the bed. Yeah. The book was under the bed. And they start charging us. And I came to my son and said, "Okay, look, I got this. You need to start paying like $3. "Daddy, I don't have $3. You know, when we sin, we have to pay, but this amount or this thing that we need to pay is impossible for us. We don't have a way to pay it. So that's the second problem. But the third problem in this example is that you still have the receipt. So for example, we have that receipt. What about if I just, and I brought this receipt. What about if I just said, "Okay, I get it. I didn't return it. It's only $3, not big of a deal." And I just keep living my life. But then I have the receipt in my pocket. You know what's going to happen? Maybe 2 or 3 days later, I'm ready to go home, to work. And it just happened that I wear the same pants, and I put my hand inside, and okay, what is this? Oh, I want $3. I don't like it. But you know, sin is like a stain, as I mentioned before. This receipt will stay with you until you pay for it. So many times we try to ignore it. We say, "Don't judge me," and all these things. But you know, guess what? You will still have the receipt. You will still own something. But praise the Lord. The good news is that we have the blood of Christ. You know what happened when you apply the blood? When the blood is applied, when we apply the blood, Christ already paid the debt. And you know what he does? With the receipt, hallelujah! Amen. That's what he does. Okay, let me pick it. You know, if you have a debt that is huge, and just someone comes out of the blue and pay for it, I don't think any of us will be like, "Oh, thank you. It was a nice gesture." No, I think you will be, "Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. So, you know, that's what happens every time that we confess our sins. Every time, maybe we don't feel, "Oh, it's a big deal." But you know, it's a big deal. Why? Because now you don't have the stain. Now, okay, I need the lamb again. Last time, I promise. Now, no stain. And now, praise the Lord, we're going with the Lord again. We're not separated anymore. Now, thank you. Now we're transparent. We're transparent again. There's nothing in between. You know, the more you confess, the more happy you will be. I learned the secret. The more I confess, at the beginning I was like, "Oh, I don't like to confess." Because you have to remember what you did, right? But if you see the blood, If you see that you become one with the Lord again, once you apply, you forget about everything. You are enjoying again. Praise the Lord. I'm one with the Lord again. So the Christian life, it's a life in which we can be one with the Lord moment by moment. So I'm going to end. If we just read, I'm not going to spend time on the last point. I think I covered some things. But let's just read it together. These are the good news. It's on the next page. Okay. Maybe we can do it like this. We read Roman number 3 together. And then brothers A, sisters B. And we continue like that. 1, 2, 3. And okay, ready, go. This is the good news. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, his death fully met all the requirements of God's law for you and pay your debt of sin. Sisters. Brothers. Wait, two. Three. God forgives, he forgets. Okay. See. Altogether, through the precious blood of Christ, the problem of guilt is solved. Praise the Lord, the problem of guilt is solved. So I just feel that I'm afraid that if I wait until you get to your room, you forget. So at one point he said, don't wait. So what about now before the brothers tell us what to do next? What about just there where you are? Just close your eyes. And whatever the Lord shines, whatever comes to you right now, you just give that to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. And whatever you say, whatever it is, and you just say, I apply your blood to me. Okay? So just take a couple minutes.